Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, the verses 40 to 45. Let us hear the word of God. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus had dealings with people of many walks and stations in life. He had dealings with both men and women, rich and poor, young and old, powerful and weak. And to everyone he met, he was gracious, compassionate, and full of mercy. But one day, Jesus met a leper. Now, in New Testament times, lepers were the lowest of the low. They were social and religious outcasts. Nevertheless, this leper came to Jesus and asked him if he would heal him. And Jesus did, serving as a powerful reminder to us that there is no one too low, no one too unworthy for the Lord. He is a Savior for all. Now, with this in mind, and the help of the Lord, let's consider the words of our text under this theme, Jesus cleanses the leper. And we'll consider four thoughts. First of all, the condition he encounters. Secondly, the request he receives. Thirdly, the mercy he bestows. And finally, the obedience he demands. The events of our text took place sometime during our Lord's first tour of Galilee. Jesus had just departed from Capernaum, and somewhere along the way, we don't know exactly where, he was approached by a leper. Now, what's a leper? Well, a leper is someone who is afflicted with leprosy. In New Testament times, leprosy was perhaps the most dreaded disease imaginable. Leprosy is a disease that attacks the nerve endings in the outer extremities of the body, such as the fingers and the toes, the arms and the legs. A person with leprosy slowly loses feeling in these parts of their body. And eventually, due to the loss of blood circulation, these parts of the body begin to decay and eventually fall off. So the person with leprosy is somebody who is literally rotting away. Now, although it's only mildly contagious, the law of Moses contained strict and explicit instructions regarding this disease, which you can read about in Leviticus 13 and 14. And there we learn that a person suspected of having this disease had to be, first of all, examined by a priest. And if it was determined that he had leprosy, he was declared unclean. Now, to be declared unclean was a very serious matter. It meant that one was not permitted to come into the precincts of the tabernacle and later on the temple. That means he could not worship God in the assembly of his people. He could not bring sacrifices to atone for his sins. He was basically cut off from God. But that's not all. The law of Moses stipulated that once a leper was declared unclean, he had to tear his clothes, uncover his head, cover his mouth to prevent the spread of the disease, and he was to cry, unclean, unclean, wherever he went. And then he was required to pack up all of his belongings and move outside of the city, the town, or the village where he lived. And there he would remain forever cut off from his family, his friends, and his community and worst of all, from God. It was a very horrible disease. What is more, it was a disease for which there was no cure. The person afflicted with leprosy normally had to suffer from it for the rest of his life until eventually he would die. Well, such was the condition of the man in our text. He was a leper. In fact, his condition was quite far advanced. Luke informs us that the man was covered with leprosy. That means he had leprosy all over his body, on his face, on his arms, his hands, his legs, and his feet. He was one mass of ulcers and sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He looked loathsome, and he smelled of death and decay. Now, dear friends, like this man, we too have a terrible disease. Not leprosy, of course, but something even more terrible. It is sin. And there's a very close connection in the Bible between leprosy and sin. For this reason, leprosy is often regarded in Scripture as a type of sin, and that for several reasons. Like leprosy, sin results in separation. Separation from God, and even at times from family and friends. Secondly, like leprosy, sin is progressive. It begins in the heart, but it spreads to the head, to the hands, the feet, and the tongue, until we are covered with it from head to toe. Thirdly, like leprosy, sin is always fatal. It merits everlasting punishment of body and soul in hell. The person who sins must die. Sin is a terrible disease. And what is more, we are all afflicted with it from the moment we are conceived in our mother's womb. Now, many people today don't like to admit that. They like to think that there's nothing wrong with them. Well, to be sure, they're not perfect. No one will ever say that, but they're certainly not sick. And if they are, it's not fatal. Nor is it anything they cannot fix themselves. All they have to do is perform some good works, do some religious rituals, and all will be well. At least that's what they think. Well, such people are sadly mistaken. The reality is that you and I and every single person on this planet is sick, fatally, spiritually sick. So what must we do about that? What we must do as this man did, we must go to the Lord Jesus, because only Christ can help us. Only He can cure us. And that brings us to our second point. This man was covered with leprosy from head to toe. And yet, in spite of the seriousness of his condition, he came to Jesus. He didn't go to a doctor. They couldn't help him. He didn't try some new and improved medication. That couldn't help him either. He did the only thing possible. He pursued the only avenue that was available to him. He went to Jesus. Why to Jesus? Well, obviously, because this man knew that Jesus was able to help him. Now, how he knew that, we don't know. Perhaps he had witnessed another miracle that our Lord had performed. Perhaps he had heard about Jesus' power from others. We don't know, but whatever the case, he went to Jesus. In fact, he didn't keep his distance as he was required to do by the law of Moses. No, he came right up to where Jesus was standing. And then upon arriving at the place where Jesus was, the man imploring him knelt down and said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, this is faith. And we learn from this man several important lessons about faith. We learn, first of all, that faith is humble. Our text says that as he approached Jesus, the leper knelt down before him. Kneeling is a posture of humility. You kneel before people who are greater than you are. And in kneeling before the Lord Jesus, this leper recognized that he deserved nothing from the Lord, that he was an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner who had no right to anything, and that he was standing in the presence of one who was far greater. Secondly, we learn here that faith is submissive. And that's evident in what this man says. You notice he does not ask Jesus to make him clean, although obviously that's what he desired. But he says, "If thou art willing, thou canst make me clean." You see, this man knew that Christ was sovereign. He also knew that as a sinner, he could make no claim on him. And therefore, all he could do was cast himself on the grace and mercy of the Lord. Thirdly, we learn here that faith believes the impossible. This man said to Jesus, "Thou canst make me clean." It's a remarkable statement. After all, here was a man who was full of leprosy. He was covered with leprosy from head to toe. Humanly speaking, there was no hope for him whatsoever. He was as good as dead, but he believed that Jesus could heal him. Nothing was impossible for Jesus. Fourthly, we learn here that faith is persistent. Our text says that the leper came beseeching Jesus. The verb here means to implore, to plead, to urge, to entreat. And in the original Greek, it appears in the form of a present participle, which describes an ongoing action. This man continually besought the Lord to help him. We see that same quality in blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus also came to Jesus, beseeching him to have mercy on him. And you remember how the crowd was annoyed at him and told him to keep silent. But Bartimaeus cried all the more, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus would not give up. He kept on calling after Jesus, and so did this leper. He continually called on the Lord Jesus. Well, are these things true of you, my friend? Is your faith humble and submissive? Does it believe the impossible? Is it also persistent? Oh, we have so much to learn from this leper. He is in so many ways a model of faith. Can the same be said about your faith? So this man came to the Lord Jesus and he asked him to make him clean. Now, how did Jesus respond? That brings us to our third point. After presenting his request to Jesus, we read in our text that Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, we catch here a glimpse into what lives in the heart of our Lord. Our Lord is not, as some would suggest, an angry, wrathful judge who is out to get us. Nor is he a stingy miser who only very reluctantly dispenses his grace and mercy to those who really need it. No, he is full of compassion. But that's not all. Jesus not only felt compassion for this man, he also demonstrated it. For Mark says in our text that he put forth his hand and he touched him. Now, there's something very remarkable about this, even shocking, because in Jesus' day, no one touched a leper, especially not a rabbi like Jesus was. It was believed in those days that to do so would put you at great risk of contracting the disease and all of the consequences that went with it. Now, this is not true, of course. You can only get leprosy after prolonged direct contact, but that's what people back then believed. They believed that by touching a leper, you would become a leper yourself. And even if you didn't become a leper, you would become ceremonially unclean. And that meant you would not be permitted, as we have seen, to come to the temple and to offer your sacrifices. You were, albeit temporarily, cut off from God. And this is why people in Jesus' day avoided lepers at all costs. In fact, if people in Jesus' day saw a leper coming towards them, they would throw stones at him in order to keep him or her away from them. But not the Lord Jesus. He not only allowed this leper to come to him, to approach him, to stand right next to him, and to kneel before him, he even reached out his hand and touched him. A man full of leprosy, the smell of rotting flesh in his nostrils. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did he touch him? He didn't have to do that. Jesus could have healed this man simply by speaking a word, as he did in the case of the centurion's servant, and he could have done so from a distance. But he didn't. Instead, he allowed this man to come before him, and he touched him. Why did he do that? Well, he did this to illustrate the work that he had come to do. And what was that work? Why did Jesus come to this earth? Well, he came to bear our iniquities. Every healing, including this one, is an illustration of this work. Matthew acknowledges that himself. In Matthew 8, verse 17, after observing that Jesus healed many who were sick and possessed with devils, Matthew writes that he did so that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Now Matthew here is quoting from Isaiah 53, verse 4. And there Isaiah writes, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Matthew sees in these various healings an illustration of how the Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins. And that's the case here as well. By touching this man, Jesus was illustrating for us why he had come to this earth and how he had come to take our sins upon himself and to bear the penalty due to us for those sins. But Jesus did more. He not only touched this man, he also spoke. And what did he say? Oh, precious words indeed. Mark records him as saying, "I will, be thou cleansed." Significant what Jesus says. He didn't say to him, "Well, you know, you're asking an awful lot for me. Let me think about it first." Nor did the Lord set forth any conditions that the man had to fulfill. Like Naaman, who had to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River, he simply looked at him and he said, "I will, be thou cleansed." What precious words. What vital words. Words that the Lord Jesus speaks to every sinner who calls upon him. "I will, be thou cleansed." What happened next? Well, the man was cleansed. We read in verse 42, "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." The leprosy left him right there and then. It wasn't the case that this man was healed gradually or even partially. No, he was completely cleansed. Every part of his body was completely and totally free of leprosy. Now we're reminded here of Jesus' great willingness and ability to save. The Puritan commentator Matthew Henry writes this, and I quote, "They who by faith apply themselves to Christ for mercy and grace may be sure that he is willing, freely willing, to give them the mercy and grace they come to him for. Christ is a physician that does not need to be sought for. He is always in the way. He does not need to be urged. While we are yet speaking, he hears. He does not need to be fed. He heals freely, not for price or reward. He has given all possible demonstration that he is as willing as he is able to save sinners." Now, in light of this, my dear friends, what an encouragement we have here to come to Christ. Not only is Christ able to save, but he is also willing, most willing. The man said, "If thou art willing," and Jesus said without hesitation, "I am willing." Oh yes, to be sure, he is sovereign. He will save whom he chooses and when he chooses. But those who come to him as lost, undone sinners have every reason to expect that he will hear and he will answer. For this is why he came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so Jesus showed mercy to this leper. But he also expected something in return, and that brings us to our final point. Our Lord had just performed a great miracle. In an instant, this man who was full of leprosy was made completely whole. But before letting this man go, Jesus issued a stern command in verses 43 and 44. We read, "And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that thou say nothing to anyone, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony unto them.'" And so Jesus here commanded the man to do two things. First of all, he was not to tell anyone what he had done for him. Now at first glance, that appears rather strange. One might think that after performing such a great miracle, that Jesus would have wanted this man to go and tell the whole world in the hope that many more might come to him and believe on him. But Jesus says no. He strictly charged the man not to say anything to anyone. Why did he say that? Well, probably because Jesus did not want to be known as simply a miracle worker. He wanted people to come to him not only for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. What is more, remember, Jesus had just begun his earthly ministry. He did not want to become too popular too soon. He still had too much work to do. And so he commanded this man to keep quiet. Secondly, he commanded the man to go and show himself to the priest and to offer a sacrifice. Why? Well, there are two reasons for this. First of all, because this is what was required by the law of Moses. The law of Moses required that anyone who had been cured of leprosy had to appear before the priest and have that claim verified. And Jesus knew that. And that's why he commanded this man to go and show himself to the priest. In so doing, Christ demonstrated that he had come not to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill it, as he says elsewhere. He was not opposed to the law, but rather he was totally in favor of the law. Secondly, he commanded him to go to the priest as a testimony to them. The reference here is to the priests, of course. This man's healing was to be a testimony to the priests. A testimony of what, you say? Well, a testimony that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God. He was the promised Messiah, for only the Son of God could perform such a miracle. Now, this too is amazing. And I say that because in a few years' time, the priests would be the ones who would pay Judas Iscariot 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus, so that they could place him under arrest and bring him to trial and ultimately to death. But before that happened, Jesus wanted them to realize who he was so that they too might come to believe on his name. And many did, the Gospels say. Oh, how great is the love of Christ, even for his enemies. And so our Lord strictly warned this man not to tell anyone. But did this man do what our Lord commanded? No, he didn't. Mark tells us that he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. That we learn here that even if the Lord has had dealings with us, we remain sinners. And that was the case also with this man. He had been healed by Christ, but he did not obey Christ. He went his own way and did his own thing. And as a result, he greatly hindered the work of the Lord. We read in verse 45 that as a result of this man's disobedience, Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. Now there were many more people who needed to be healed by Jesus. Many more people in the city who needed to hear Jesus' teaching and come to faith in him, but they were not able. Because of this man's sin, Jesus had to withdraw. And that's still the case today, isn't it? When believers sin, as individuals or as congregations, they hinder the work of the Lord. And they may even in so doing prevent others from coming to Christ themselves. And it's not difficult to see why. Because who would want to become a follower of Christ when his followers live in sin and disobedience? My friend, nothing hinders the progress of the gospel more than the sins of God's own people. Thankfully, however, the Lord's work cannot and will not be stopped. And it wasn't stopped in this case either. For at the end of verse 45, Mark writes that they came to him from every quarter. Jesus could not go into the city. He had to remain outside of the towns and the cities of Galilee, at least for a time, until the excitement died down. But people kept on coming. They followed him to the desert places. They did not wait for him to come to them, but they came to him. And so what initially proved to be a great setback ended up being a great triumph. For the work of the Lord would go on. All whom the Father had given to him would come to him. Many would believe on his name and acknowledge him for who he really was, the promised Messiah of God. Well, my friend, what about you today, having heard of this great miracle? What is your response? Will you also come to him? Will you also seek for him and believe on his name if you have never done so? Will you also do as he commands you? Oh, do not say, I am too sinful. Do not say, my condition is too grave. If Jesus was able and willing to have dealings with this leper, he is able and willing to have dealings with you, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter how great your sins may be. Jesus invites you to come unto him, to believe on his name. And those who do will hear from him those blessed words, I am willing, be thou cleansed. Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you have heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please take a moment and let us know. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or feel free to give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us with the costs associated with this program, you can do so by sending us a check in any amount or making a donation in the donation section of our webpage. We heartily thank you for your prayerful support. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.